Hello, everyone. Episode 8 of Consistently Above Average. Andrew McGahan here. Still here. Still in Dundalk. Still asking you to share the episodes. Rate them 5 stars. The expanding, sprawling production crew of the Consistently Above Average podcast have been working overtime this week. I forced them not only to make an Instagram page for the podcast, but they're also crunching numbers, taking notes, analysing the stats. Not only are we experiencing growth, we're having older episodes pick up again in numbers as people are going back through the catalogue and listening. Episode number 8 was always going to be special, to be honest. It's one of my favourite numbers. In fact, I would go as far as saying that it is my favourite number. It's the main ball in snooker. You have to love that. 8radio.com, where I present a weekly radio show. Have to love that as well. But instead, where the affinity and the love comes from, the number 8, is from a young Andrew choosing what team to support, and there was one man that made the influence. Now, I'm not sure if Freddie Ljungberg, Swedish footballer, knew that by dyeing his hair red, he would inspire me to take note of him on the television one day, but it certainly worked. Wearing number 8. A 7 or 8 year old version of myself decided, because of this man and this jersey matching his hair, this will be the team for me. One of the most prominent memories I have of my uncle before he passed away when I was young was bringing me uptown to get this jersey that I'm showing to the camera here. Check us out on Instagram if you'd like to see the clip. This jersey printed, Ljungberg 8, with the gold Premier League lion on the side. I was 9 years old. The only place in Dundalk to get your jerseys printed at the time, Emerald Sports, owned by a man named Brendan Waters. Ljungberg 8. Still fits. Barely. Then again, number 4 is also my other favourite number. And that is entirely influenced by Cesc Fabregas, another Arsenal player. And I've gone through different periods of wondering, what do I really think and feel about that man in my adult life? But for now, let's just focus on Freddie. Number 8, episode 8. Here we go. So, another week, another email, which is a two-parter and definitely dives into a topic that I've wanted to discuss. So, the email was entitled, Thoughts and Reflections on Ego in the Gym. It was based off a conversation that one person had with two people in their gym. And I've heard of the gym, and I admit I don't know a lot about them, so I'm taking the email fully at face value. This could descend over time into people trolling me, giving me stuff to talk about. But as of right now, I assume all of the emails, all 2 of them, have been genuine. And the first conversation I had was with a 3-stripe white belt who has felt lately that he had changed the way they were sparring and training, not stiffening up, gassing out, being erratic with their movements. Would be known in the jiu-jitsu world as spazzing out a lot of the time, depending on who you're asking. They've come to the realization that they're basically not trying to kill every single person that they train with anymore, because that was just leading them to gas themselves very quick, like run out of energy, and losing anyway, or winning, but at a huge cost to their energy themselves, so that they would just get tanked in the next round. And it made the person in question realize that around the same time of their own journey into jiu-jitsu, they had almost an identical realization after a higher belt had told them that they're getting a lot better when they were rolling because you're not such a spaz anymore. So the question is that the ego leaving the practitioner? And what is the right time for them to realize a cooling of the jets, so to speak? Now, there is going to be a part of me that says you can tell somebody to be calm in a bad situation. Like, try not to stiffen up. Try not to lock up their body. Tense up. Like, create that sort of thing that's going to gas you out quicker by all of your muscles just firing at once. Or telling them to not to be too erratic with their movements. Maybe unless there's a way to isolate this in a type of sparring and highlight it to the person early on. This is often something that someone finds out for themselves. And occasionally, it's the hard way that they find this out for themselves through multiple rounds of feeling like crap. So if you're training in like a beginner class environment, sometimes it can just be as simple as waiting it out until somebody newer starts, and then you can try to use your jiu-jitsu at a lower pace without gassing yourself out because they're making the same mistakes that you did before. This can happen in the first couple of months, but I also find, just as a side point, those people can be harder to control and to beat because they're at their most wild, they're most dangerous, they might be thrashing out, they don't really know what they're doing yet. And I would still, to my shame, find it harder to control people who don't know exactly what they're doing, to a certain degree anyway, than people who do know what they're doing or who are actively, consciously trying to do jiu-jitsu back to you. And I know that if it comes down to it, I'm going to win the match against the person with no experience. Hopefully. Otherwise, the last 14 years have been for absolutely nothing, let's be honest. But it definitely takes more working around a certain style than it does, like I was saying, people who might respect the rank or the belt of the person that they're training with, if they're cautious or apprehensive not to make a big opening mistake or something. So if you're listening to that and thinking that I'm making no sense, let's use a popular culture reference, which you've become accustomed to on the podcast so far. Let's get that straight. Let's cast our minds back to 2008 with an incredibly popular movie reference, and actually the movie that got me into wanting to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu to begin with. Critically acclaimed, Never Back Down. Never Back Down. Showed us the character of Jake Tyler. He's training in a gym, doing his own thing until the class starts. Not going to spoil the movie for everyone that hasn't seen it yet, even though it was released, what, 16 years ago? So at this point, Jake's still angry, still has it all inside himself. Oh, no one understands me. Still figuring himself out. Gym owner, Jean Roca. Can't really remember how he went by in the movie, to be honest. But he comes out and explains to him about the importance of breathing. Breathing, yes. Here, you can hear it, is that salient advice.
Beat yourself if you don't control your breathing. The first day sparring with Maj, you panicked and stopped breathing. Here you are trying so hard to kill the bag, but you forget to breathe, so your kick has no power. Breathe with each strike.
And then, of course, in typical ego-fueled behavior, he gives this response.
Each strike, you breathe.
So is that it?
Is that what?
Your grasshopper speech. All I get is four words about breathing?
In my mind, a perfect example of a person who hasn't suffered an ego death yet or bought fully into the process of what they're training for. The email continued. A blue belt who had progressed into the advanced classes in our gym preferred the element of learning more now than compared to before. Like the allure of maybe fighting like mad at white belt, in a load of white belts, king of the white belts. Now this is definitely normal. In our gym, one of the beginners classes has been affectionately nicknamed Afghanistan. Maybe not affectionately actually, depending on who's listening to this or where you are in the world. So I apologize for that. Essentially, it can turn into a war zone. Now, a beginner's class or program is naturally filled with lots of different shapes and sizes. People can be from different backgrounds. The emailer did note that sometimes people from certain sports can try jiu-jitsu out, enjoy it initially, burn out and not get over the little hump of getting used to it because of the inability to let go of an ego or a will to win type cost of mentality. Now, while I'm not fully sure I agree with the point. I can appreciate where it's been made from. But the counter I would give to that is that what I have noticed is, without a doubt, people with dual sport or multi-sport exposures and experience are able to adapt very well and very quickly to Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, if you had a kid, for example, who did gymnastics when they were younger, swimming, rugby, Gaelic football, soccer, whatever, people who understand the movement of their body a little bit more, have a little bit more grounding in activity and sport, they're also not averse to a little bit of physical contact, it can be such a good starting block. The counter to that could be the same reason why some of the best MMA fighters in the world and boxers are also outstanding dancers, because they understand rhythm, footwork, movement, some subconsciously, some unconsciously, or consciously, I suppose you could say. And while the email finished admitting that maybe there's not a question in there, and if there was, how many people leave jiu-jitsu because of their own ego, or how many people exceed at jiu-jitsu because they lost their ego early in the journey, my only personal add-on to that is that I was the smallest in the gym by quite a bit when I started. Not so much in Dundalk, but when I started going down to Newry, definitely for the first 9 months, I was the lightest by maybe 6 to 10 kilos. And it had a factor. Definitely it had a factor. So I lost that early on. Lost the ego early on because I went into jiu-jitsu with no expectations. And I continued for quite a while with no expectations. So this day in 2 weeks, I'll be in Rome. You will be getting an episode on location. Episode number 10 will be on location from Rome. We will be one day into the IBJJF Nogi Europeans, and I will be in an Airbnb recording this on a Thursday evening as normal. There is a chance I'll even be competing on the Friday, which will be a little bit insane if I'm recording a podcast the night before. But before all that, this Sunday, we are having our fourth and final Nogi Europeans training session. Myself and Gianluca Maltese have ran these over the last 2 months since August. We've had over 150 people come and train at the first three sessions. Am I biased in saying I think that we're going to top the last numbers that we had? Yeah. I also think that it's possibly going to be the highest collection of high-level grapplers on one mat that has ever happened in Ireland at the same time. That could be a particularly outrageous statement. If you'd like to contribute to that statement, then show up. You can help make it a reality. Maybe. Let's see who shows up on Sunday. The poster that we put out, I think it was great. Bit hilarious. ChatGPT, of all things, made the image for me. In seconds, of course, as ChatGPT can. And I wanted to theme it around the Chicago Bulls idea of the last dance, since it's our last event. That's the only real reason. I've actually never seen The Last Dance. I've only seen the memes. However, I have read both Relentless and Winning by Tim Grover, who was famously Michael Jordan's coach out of realm of the team, his own personal trainer. Now, I've put plenty of people onto these books over the years and the different responses. Some people liked it, some people didn't. Some people would assure you that they're fully on board with the philosophies and the mentalities and stuff like that, and that they're doing everything it takes, but they're not. And then others who read it, consume it, nod, take it all in, say nothing, level up, do the work quietly in every capacity possible, and have come out the better for it by following some of these blueprints. Regardless, I couldn't recommend either of these books enough. Either in physical format or audio format, if you fancied something along that line to read. And look, it was a topical reference from years ago, The Last Dance, okay? We went with it, and it's this Sunday. We have been strict on it. Nogi European competitors only, or purple, brown, and black belts from different gyms, but we've brought in a couple of people over the three events that I wanted to expose them to a higher level of training. Hopefully in the future we can scale it, make a big day out of it. Let's see. Watch this space. I will also say shout out. Grapplepalooza announced the other day as well. €5,600 in prize money. people may say, you know, people may say, the streets are saying, people could speculate. Huh. Didn't you only do something recently talking about organizations making a load of money and not putting money back in? You're right, I did. Is it a coincidence? It probably is. Could I have gone down the route of implying that I single-handedly made this change happen, despite it not being my money or organization? I absolutely could have done that as well, but I'm not. I'm delighted to see €5,600 being contributed and committed towards Irish athletes' travel expenses for the Europeans in January 2025. Finally, I'm going to go on a bit of a curve here. It has nothing to do with jiu-jitsu. It has to do with X. X, formerly known as Twitter. I've heard and seen a lot of people giving off about their algorithms being X, Y, or Z with stuff that they hate or don't want to watch. However, while I do have some strange stuff coming up in mine, I have to say, by and large, I love it at the moment. I'm getting MMA clips, I'm getting animal clips, I'm getting Arsenal football content. Am I getting videos of drones killing people as well? Yeah. Corpses, yeah. You're going to get, look, you take the good with the bad, all right? What I'm also getting a lot of, I mentioned to my uncle today, we went for lunch, and I told him about these accounts that are coming up my timelines. And those who know, maybe those who don't, I'd wager that since we're still early into the podcast that a large percent may know, but whatever. My mum, Mary, passed away last summer. She suffered from cancer twice in her life, and unfortunately the second time she suffered from it, it became terminal. And while it's a topic that I want to and will talk about in the future, everything I do think I ended up learning from Mary in terms of like talking about that in the future, right now I just want to make my point about Twitter. So all of the accounts that I'm being exposed to, or a lot of accounts that I'm seeing, all of the accounts that I'm seeing, or these type of things that I'm seeing, and Twitter obviously knows that I'm interacting with them, liking them and stuff, so they're showing me more, they're from people who are terminally ill, either posting themselves or family members who are posting on their behalf after they've passed away. And to see the support and engagement that they have gotten and interaction from complete strangers, wishing them well, praying for them, don't care if you're religious or not, by the way, the sentiment of someone praying for someone if they're religious is important. Encouraging the person or consoling them, offering whatever they could. I just must be consuming different parts of the internet than a lot of other people, because genuinely, it seems like everyone is so mad at the moment and so angry. And people have reason to be mad and angry. I understand that. But sometimes I laugh a little bit because I am completely in a sheltered little community of jiu-jitsu. I'm sheltered in my ambitions. I'm sheltered in my focus. My routine is very boring. I really unapologetically kind of just want to make no time for anything other than the thing I like doing the most and the pursuit of getting better for these tournaments. And that's fine. And I'm involved in a community, a tribe, bonding, glue, whatever, do you know, with other people who do jiu-jitsu. And I just think all the people that are angry and mad at each other, they could go for a pint together or they could kiss. Do you know, just kiss. You might be friends. Maybe you have a crush on each other. That's why you're fighting with each other all the time, either online or in person. Get it out of your system. The opposite of that then is that on my algorithm, you have the complete opposite side. The person who's been smacked and is faced with a stark reality of death, impending death, and their acceptance. And while they're undoubtedly scared of what's to come and what they're leaving behind, like, they're handling it with such dignity and grace that you can't help but admire them. And I'm sorry if I hurt anyone's feelings there by saying that you should kiss or go for a pint together, okay? I understand you cannot like other people and you can disagree with them. Just trying to make a little bit of light here as I'm talking about people with terminal illness. So my mom, Mary, didn't have a Twitter account, but I like reading all these tweets because it reminds me of her. and maybe she was having similar thoughts. And I didn't get to have a conversation with her asking about a lot of those thoughts. Was she, what was she thinking about? Was she prepared for it? Blah, blah, blah. Now, she was prepared for it. In painstakingly detailed, she left a diary and wrote us all letters and plans for a funeral before she died. And while I'm delighted I have the letter, and I have it safe, and I have copies of it as well, because I lose things, I haven't been able to read the diary. And although I am sure that I will one day, these Twitter archives are digital diaries for family and for other people. And I think that's really nice. And this is not related to jiu-jitsu at all, but it's also kind of why I wanted to start podcasting again. Because sometimes I notice these things or make these connections, for better or for worse. And I get these little stories and characters and realities into my head from seeing different things online. And I always find that it is better, at least in some capacity, whether to a person or now to a slightly wider audience of a couple of hundred people instead of just one of my mates. It's probably better to share them in some capacity. I mean a couple of thousand people. We're our listenership's in the thousands, guys. It's always better to share these things in some capacity than to not share them, I suppose. So this is your warning to tune out, because I'm going to play a clip from one of these Twitter accounts of a woman talking. So if you don't want to hear somebody talking about facing the end of life, you can tune out in about 40 seconds, okay? Thank you very much for tuning in this week. Send it on, leave a review, the usual stuff. Subscribe to the podcast. Help boost the numbers like a skyrocketing meme cryptocurrency straight to the moon. And I will chat to you all next Friday. So as I said, going to play this podcast out now with a clip from one of the videos on the pages. This is from Janie Goody or Godly. Janie Godly? I may have got that wrong. I've written it down wrong. I can't open it right now anyway. She seems to have been somewhat famous based off the Twitter numbers. I don't know who she is. She came up in my algorithm and I watched this video and you're going to hear it now. All right? Chat to you next week. Good luck.
And I'm at end of life care now in the hospital. The chemo ran out of options and I just couldn't take any more of it. And the cancer has spread. So it looks like this will be getting to the near the end of it. And it's really difficult to speak about this and say it to people. But again, I want to thank the NHS, the Scottish NHS, the Beatson, the Marie Curie, the Royal Infirmary, everybody from the doctors, the nurses, phlebotomists, the secretaries, the cleaners, the people who wipe my room down, the surgeons, right down to the wee woman that holds my hand and makes my tea. It is devastating news to know that I'm facing end of life, but we all come to an end sometime. I want to thank everybody for supporting my family, especially Ashley and my husband. The overwhelming support has been amazing. And I don't know how long I've got left before anybody asks. I'm not a TikTok. So I just want you all to know that I appreciate all the love you've gave me and all the support. Cancer affects 2 in 1 people. And it's affected me. So I hope you all have a lovely Christmas. Hopefully I might be here. Who knows? Don't know. No TikTok. But I just want you to know that I'm sending all my love and support to everybody else out there who is living with a life-limiting disease.